Last week, we talked about being saved by grace alone. There is nothing that you can do to earn grace. There is nothing really you can do to lose grace. That is all the work of God in you. You can take no credit for it whatsoever. None. And then you might ask, well, Pastor, then what's the point of being good? Because it's so much more fun being bad if it's all God's work anyway. Well, God's already thought of that. God knows how bad we can be. But God also knows how good we can be. And it's this beautiful gift of the Holy Spirit that lives within us. This gift of the Holy Spirit is so very important. You've heard me say this before. In the Gospels, Jesus says, I have to go away. Jesus doesn't say, I have this destiny with the cross, and that's why I'm leaving you. No, he says, I have to go away so that you can receive the Holy Spirit. It's that important that Jesus says, I can't stick around. Do you get that? That Jesus Christ, the one who takes away the sins of the world, would say, I have to go away. I have to. So that you can receive the gift of the Spirit. I could tell you all kinds of transformation stories of the work of the Spirit. But first, I want you to think about your own. I want you to think about the version of you 10 years ago, 20 years ago. I'd say 30 years ago, but some of you wouldn't be alive. Right? There's actually some people in here younger than 30. Thank you very much. Think about maybe even that point where you surrendered to God, that version of you. Some of you may not be able to think that. Some of you may have a story similar to mine where I was baptized as an infant. I had church-going parents. I cannot remember when I did not know who Jesus Christ was. I can't remember. I don't have that defining moment. Some of you do, and some of you don't. That's the beauty of it. God meets us where we are. God takes us as we are. God loves us as we are in any situation, in every situation. God just may not love the situation that we're in. But God always has loved you and will continue to do so. Now, how many of you would agree that you're different than you were back then? Most of you would say yes, except for Alden. Alden's just slower than usual. Most of you said yes. Now, would you say you're a better version of yourself? Yeah, most of you say yes. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in you. God doesn't leave you alone. God gently moves you along to be a better version of yourself. And that better version looks like Jesus, that one needful thing. That's the Holy Spirit within you. For Paul, as a Pharisee, yeah, the law was important to him. And it's a big deal for Paul to say that you are saved by the work of Christ, by grace. That the law was given to show us, well, we're not as good as we thought. Boy, can we break some rules. We really don't know what's good for us. We really don't know what's good for anybody else. And hey, what do you know? We may not even care. We need help in that spectrum, in that world. So that these hearts of stone can become hearts of flesh. Hearts that bear the marks of Christ, the fruits of the Spirit. Those fruits that Paul lists as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When I think about these attributes, I can think of all kinds of people in my life. Very mature in the spirit. One of those people that comes to mind instantaneously is my grandmother. Now, you've heard me talk about my grandma before. Grandma Ruth was one of the most generous people that I had ever met. One of the kindest, most gentle, loving, joyful. Boy, could that woman crack herself up with the corniest of jokes. Had a big hug for everyone who walked through her kitchen door, for everyone at church, and just had just this beautiful glow on her face and this twinkle in her eye and this wonderful, beautiful laugh. And you think, because I just remember her that way for all of that, the time that I knew her, that she was always like that. But she wasn't. She wasn't always like that. She grew up as a preacher's kid. I know about those because I'm raising two of them. And they can be, they can have pretty high standards. My oldest really likes rules. He likes to know boundaries. He likes to know the framework of things, and he likes to stay in them for the most part. He doesn't like to get in trouble. He is very, very prideful. He's constantly comparing himself with his sister and his people, the other people around him. He's very nosy. He likes to know other people's grades so that he knows where he stands with them. He's very competitive. Yeah, I know what a preacher's kid is like. They walk into the church and they believe that they own it. Both my kids are that way. And they think that they own all of you too, just so you know. And if things just aren't right in this, the service, I get an earful about it. I get ideas of how to make the service better. I get ideas of how to make the service worse. I get all kinds of feedback from them. And they're willing to give anybody else feedback. They're very secure. And I would say prideful about their place in the world. I don't think my grandmother was much different when I hear stories about her. She was very, very strong-willed, very prideful about who she was as a preacher's daughter. She was very spunky. There's a story where a little a kid close to her age was giving her a hard time. And I don't know what happened, but there was something about her sticking his head in the toilet and flushing it. I don't know if that's rumor or true or not. I have no idea. So there's this imperfection going on, right? And as she got older, what I learned was she was very, very strict. Heard this from my mom, who had known her for a very, very long time, even before her and my dad got married, and from my dad's best friend, that she had very, very high standards, and that she had an understanding that you needed to be a good person in order to earn love, in order to receive grace. That grace didn't come before perfection. You needed to earn it. And not only did she have that standard for herself, she had that standard for her children, for her husband, and for all those around her. Now, mind you, my grandmother had been involved in church all of her life. I don't know what happened for her to begin to mellow. Because what I want you to hear is, even though she knew God, she was justified in that grace. She didn't stay in that same place. And even though she knew who God was all of her life as a preacher's kid, it doesn't mean that she was Christ-like. Are you with me? That there's a difference between this head knowledge going on, this justification where we're like, oh, yeah, Jesus. Yeah, I say yes to that. And we line up to what we think is Christianity, and we think good morals is all it takes. And we miss out on this heart piece. And this is where the Holy Spirit comes in. Because it's what Paul is trying to get across is it's not all about obedience, saying yes and lining yourself up with the law and being prideful to say, ha, I can do that better than everybody else. Check. Oh, you people out there who aren't getting it, too bad for you. And we go off and we talk about them, we gossip about them, our heart is hard towards them. There's this heart piece that God is reconciling. When we redeem something, the scripture uses this term redemption to redeem something. Some of you understand that word because used to you could get cans and you could get bottles and you could redeem them for a little bit of something. But the person who took them, the entity that took them, the company that took them, didn't keep them as the same, did it? They were going to utilize those bottles and cans. They were probably going to recycle them and possibly make them into something else. That's redemption. It's something that nobody else wants. It's been used. It's what most people see as trash. If you're not going to redeem it, it's going to go in the garbage or on the side of the road, and somebody else is going to pick it up. Are you getting me? When the Bible uses that redemption, it's that concept of someone finding it and will actually pay money for it and then change it into something else. That's redemption. That's sanctification. That's God finding you wherever you are, in whatever situation, whatever you've done, or anybody else in the world, the worst person you could ever think of that you think, oh my gosh, that person is a lost cause. And God looking at that person and saying, huh, I want that. I can use that. I can do something with that. Some people today would call it upcycling. Right? Have y'all heard of upcycling? No, Kim, you know what it is. Repurposing something. Where it looks absolutely useless and somebody says, oh my gosh, I can do something with that and it'll look great in my living room. Right? Going to the secondhand store and taking clothes and rearranging them and wearing them. That's what God does with us. We're not, when God gets hold of us and the Holy Spirit lives within us, we are being changed and transformed. By the time I got to know my grandmother, she wasn't the same person. She was the most loving, kind, generous, showed so much self-control. She was the picture of perfection for me. But that was the work of the Holy Spirit within her. That was not her work in her. Let me give you an example of how awesome my grandmother was. So my grandfather, they owned a huge piece of property in Bridge City, and they had a little bitty house on it that he built. But on the side of it was a little trailer park, and they may have had 12 trailers on it, maybe. And it was lower standard of living. And I sat down because the people that lived in the trailer park were a bit different. They were lower income. They were people who were struggling with work. But my grandma and grandpa were always very, very loving, kind to them, sharing whatever they had with them. And there were times people couldn't pay, and they would just let them live there. Maybe it's okay. So I asked my grandma one day, I said, what does it take to be evicted from your place? Right? What does it take to be kicked out? Where's the line for you guys, because they had so much grace for these individuals. And these individuals became like family to my grandparents. And my grandma said, well, we found out one of them had a drug habit, and he was selling outside of our trailer. And she said, with you grandkids here in and out, she says, the last thing I wanted was them to offer you drugs. So we had to tell them to move out. That was our line. If they put one of you in danger, that was the line. I'm like, wow. And at that point, it was a set of values, two values that were very dear to them, right? Love of family and love for these people. And the value of which one wins out. As Christians, we always have these values that we're struggling with. And the Holy Spirit is pushing us to decide which one is the higher value. They're both great values. But which one is more important? Which one am I being called to? Which one is most Christ-like? Which one bears these fruit? Which one shows Christ into the world? We are constantly being transformed to what we are today, this very moment, into something else. The thing about God's upcycling, the thing about God's redeeming, the thing about God's recycling is it takes longer. We are long-term projects. For some of us, it takes a lifetime. For others, we look at them and we're like, oh my gosh, I see Jesus. And they don't even realize it. That's the beauty of it. So I have a couple of pieces of homework for you. One is when you look at this list, which ones are flowing out of you and which ones aren't? Which ones do you need to surrender to God and go, oh my gosh, self-control? When I'm not in heavy traffic, how about that? When my kids aren't getting on my nerves, I've got perfect self-control. Right? Looking at all of those and saying, and looking at yourself. The scripture tells us to carry each one's burdens and also carry your own load. To understand that we are intricately tied to one another and that we are in relationship to one another and we're here to help one another in everything, in loving kindness. So whatever a person's struggling with, whether it's their situation or their temptation, we're here for them, to walk alongside them, to help carry their load. But to also understand that the scripture tells us to carry our own, to understand that we're responsible for ourselves. And when it comes to comparing how we're doing to someone else, you're not responsible for them. Why are you in their business? You are responsible for you. That's your load to carry. You carry others in compassion, not judgment. And you hold up to your responsibility of who you are in Christ Jesus. And that's nobody's business but your own. How are you doing? Who have you passed judgment on and why? What's keeping you from being Christ to those people? Because once we pass judgment on someone, we can't love them like Jesus loves them. And that's what we're called to do. The last piece of homework is this. It's today we're decorating for Advent. Jesus is coming, folks, in the form of a little baby in a manger, and we need to be ready. So we're going to decorate outside. This is your job. Do not leave, because this is a part of your homework. we're going to go out there and we're going to decorate the foyer and whatever else needs to be done. There are people who know and they can point you in the right direction. And then when the second service lets out, we're going to decorate in here. All right? That's your homework. Don't let me down. All right? We did this so that you guys would not have to come back and go, but that you would have something to do to help out. So please, please be able to do that. The other thing that I want to say, when we produce good fruits, we are called out to be in community, and there's so much opportunity for that as we move into the holidays, and one of those is a Thanksgiving meal. I know some of us are going out of town for the Thanksgiving meal, but it is this week. So on Wednesday, if you want to go help the youth sort cans and be a counselor there, it is a lot of fun. I've done it several years in a row. So much fun. You can do that. And then the day of Thanksgiving, to be a part of that, to be in community, wear your St. John shirts. If you don't have a St. John shirt, there's $10. We can get you one. Wear it. Let people know who you are. That you're not just representing this church, but you're representing Christ Jesus out in community. There are still pans out there. We still need desserts. We still need sweet potatoes. If you can provide any of that, there's going to be turkey carving. Lots of things to do. So much opportunity to be in community. This, let me tell you, community is extremely important to me. It's a part of who I am. And as an introvert, let me tell you, that's a big deal. Right? I like to be by myself. Can I get an amen? Right? Yeah. But that's not where Christ didn't call us into being a hermit. Otherwise, we'd be in a monastery somewhere. We're not. So we get to be in community. We get to. So go forth, be in community. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.